السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن صام إيمانا ومن صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, Ramadan is almost coming to an end, and we have heard many hadiths. We have read in the literature that is distributed in the month of Ramadan of many hadiths of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan, of recitation of Quran Sharif, of standing up on the night of Qadr, and so many other things. One hadith Sharif which is very well known and which has been reported by so many people and which has been heard by us over the years, a simple hadith, something that even little children have by-hearted and memorized, those who have heard it from the parents or in the talks, because it's very simple. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions to come close. When they came close, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mounted the pulpit, the mimbar, and he placed his feet on the first step. He said Ameen. When he climbed onto the second step, he said Ameen. And when he climbed onto the third step, he said Ameen. Afterwards, when the companions questioned him, I'm just giving you an explanation, when the companions questioned him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you say these Ameens? Because this was an unusual thing. This was not the customary practice of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he climbs onto the mimbar, he says Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam informed them that when I climbed onto the first step, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said, woe be to that person. In other words, may that person be destroyed. May the curse of Allah be upon that person. That's what it actually means. Who gets the month of Ramadan and he does not get forgiveness of his sins from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When I climbed onto the second step, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, woe be unto that person who hears your name and he does not read durood upon you. That means when Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is heard, the person does not say at least sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, may that person suffer destruction. And when I climbed onto the third step, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam cursed that person who gets his father or his mother or both his parents in old age and he does not get Jannat by serving them, then may that person suffer destruction. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, on all these three I said Ameen, and according to some riwayat I was told to say Ameen. Now you and I who are very much worried and very much concerned, and we should be concerned about the curses of people. How many times we say that I am so worried that person cursed me. Although he was not justified, but he cursed me. And I'm so worried now that that curse must not get me. And sometimes the person is justified in cursing, and then we become even more worried that this person has cursed me, and he was justified also in cursing, so therefore it's definitely going to get me. Then again we are even more concerned if that curse is from an alim who is ba'amal, a muttaqi alim. And if that person is our shaykh, or our ustad, or our peer, or our amir, then the person gets even more worried and concerned. If that person is a pious shaykh, is a pious alim, is a pious mufti, then the person gets even more worried that this curse is coming from a person who is close to Allah Ta'ala, and therefore it will get me. Brothers, we haven't really pondered over this hadith. We have heard it many, many times. But the implication of this hadith, we have not understood as yet, that what serious consequences this Ameen of Rasul-e-Paak has on the Ummat. Rasul-e-Paak was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was stoned in Taif and he was told that if you want, I can get the angels of the mountain are here, they will crush these people in between. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no. They do not understand, they do not know who I am. They don't understand my message. They haven't believed in me as the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Probably from their progeny some people will accept Islam. And we know that what happened after that. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not curse. On some other occasion also he said, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. When he was asked to curse, he said, no. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they do not know. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for his personal self, if there was any kind of harm that was caused to him, any kind of injury, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not seek any kind of revenge. It was only for the sake of deen, or in jihad sometimes, on such other occasions where his companions were harmed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is reported that certain places he made baddua. That qunut e nazila, which we read in the Fajr Salat sometimes, and the Shafi'is read every day, it was for a similar kind of an incident, which is a lengthy incident, I'm not going into that. But in there is curses upon those kuffar and mushrikeen who had betrayed that group. But for his personal self, there was no question of revenge. But on these three occasions, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying Ameen, meaning that, yes, let it happen like that. Let it be like that. Can we just imagine how serious it is? If we have got real love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we truly believe in him as Rahmatul Lil Alameen, as Khatamun Nabiyyin, as the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as the one who was the greatest after Allah, if we truly believe in that, and if we believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever was his heart's desire, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fulfilled that desire. In different ways Allah ta'ala fulfilled it. And especially if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Ameen on the curse and the baddua of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam for such kinds of people, then we must not take it very lightly. We all want to find solution to our problems. Why is it that we can't seem to find solutions? Why is it that after Ramadan it seems as if our problems have increased? Why is it that we may spend so much of time in the fast from morning till evening, 16 hours fast, but at the end of the day, it seems that nothing really happened in our lives? Because the curse of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ameen which he said on the curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, is taking effect. That if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making Ameen, that yes, may they face destruction, may their life become miserable. That is what it means, that yes, Ya Allah, let their lives become miserable. If they got the month of Ramadan, they did not appreciate the Mubarak hours and the Mubarak seconds and the Mubarak minutes, and they continued to indulge in their same evil lifestyle, and their time was still passed in evil habits which had been formed over the whole year. As I mentioned yesterday when I was talking to our brothers who are in Etikaf, that many people, they say that we want to pass time in Ramadan. Now to pass time, then they indulge in different kinds of haram activities also, and certain activities which are absolutely useless, futile, of no benefit in this world, in the akhirat. So I said, this time, we don't have to try and pass it. The time will pass. If you try to hold the time also, you can never do it. The time, how can we ever hold it? And I gave the example that whatever is past is already past. Whatever is present, as you speak, it goes away to the past. If I have to remain silent for 1 second, that second is gone to the past. There's no such thing as a present. If I remain silent for 1 second, where is that second gone now? Is it present? It's gone to the past. And as far as the future is concerned, it is unknown. That young sister of ours who passed away in that shooting incident, one of the letters that she wrote to one of her friends, a few months or whatever it was before her this incident, in there she states that poetry of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, which I have stated in my majlises and talks many, many times, and many brothers have already by-hearted it. And it is also printed in English and put in many boards. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. Aur usme tausi bhi hai ghair mumkin, aur mi'aad iski nahi maloom. It's a very strange kind of visa. When Allah Ta'ala cancels it, nobody knows. Extension of the visa is impossible. And the duration of the time also is unknown. I've explained it many times. So this time is going to pass. Whether we like it or not, it's going to pass. So the past is already past. The present is going to the past. Whether we like it or not, we can't hold it. And the future is unknown. Whether it's 1 second, 1 year, or 100 years, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So we have no time for reformation and change. The time is now, right now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't come in the life of anyone. A person planted a thorn tree. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, a person planted a thorn tree on the pavement. Now when people were walking past, the thorns were injuring them. So they complained to that person, that take this tree out. It is still in the early stages, it's easy to pluck it out, take it out. He says, tomorrow. Again somebody tells him, he says, tomorrow. It went on and on until it grew into a huge tree full of thorns. He's giving an example. The roots went deep into the ground. They reported to the municipality, and the municipality then warned that person that if you do not uproot this tree within a certain number of hours or days, then we will fine you, we will punish you. So now this person went to uproot the tree. But what had happened is that he was already 50, 60 or 70 years of age. The strength in his body, because he had gone old now, the strength in his body had gone weak. He had become weak, and that tree had become very strong. The roots had gone deep into the ground. Now he's trying to uproot it, but he can't uproot it, because he has got no strength left, and the tree has gone very, very strong. But if he had done that in the early stages, it would have been easy for him. So he says, that is exactly our condition, that when we get into the habit of sinning, then that habit goes deep into our heart. That root goes so deep into our hearts that come Ramadan, come Eid, come Hajj, come Umrah. But that person's bad habit of gambling, that person's bad habit of fornication and adultery, that person's bad habit of speaking lies, that person's bad habit of cheating and deceiving, because the roots have gone so deep into the ground, that just by making that ibadat, it doesn't go away. That person can attend no matter how many programs, it doesn't just go away like that, until he gets a bulldozer. That person now needs a bulldozer to uproot that from the ground. Our trees, where the roots go deep, then they bring those bulldozers. So now what is that bulldozer? Is a sheikh who is very, very strict and hard on him. And this person informs him that these are the thorns, and I want to remove them. Then he will instruct him what to do. And if that person is prepared to listen, then no matter how old that habit, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will uproot that from his life. So many people who were on drugs, who were on drink, who were on wine and women, and who were involved in so many kinds of evil, but when they had the taluk with some pious, righteous, Allah wala shaykh, and that person really made ittiba of the teachings, and he made ittiba, that means he obeyed whatever instructions he was given, then old habits also went out of his life. And this is what the Quran Sharif tells us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and become of those, or join those people who are the righteous ones. There is no other way that the person can get out of his bad habits but to be constantly in the company of those who are righteous and pious. So then it will rub on to that person. If a person is not going to do that in the early stages of his life, then it will take a long, long time to get rid of those habits. So this hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I am discussing, it is a well-known hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said Ameen on the three steps. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying Ameen on the curses of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and we must believe that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam does not curse anyone on his own. La yasuna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. That the angels, they do nothing of their own. They do not disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a single moment in their lives. They only carry out the instructions and the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that curse be upon that person, curse be upon that person who gets the month of Ramadan, but he does not gain forgiveness of his sins, that is by means of ibadah, zikr, tilawat, du'as, crying before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if that person was unable to do that, and whilst fasting also, remaining away from everything that is haram, since he is staying away from everything that is halal, or so many things that are halal. So if he is not going to do that and gain forgiveness in this month of Ramadan, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, curse of Allah be upon him, and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is saying, Ameen. So we who are so concerned about the curses of people, we should be far more concerned about this curse of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because the true meaning of that is that may this person suffer destruction in this world and in the akhirat. May this person's life become miserable. And misery doesn't come only out of poverty. This is a misunderstanding that we have. It's a wrong conception that we have that misery only comes in a person's life if there's poverty. Poverty also brings misery. And richness can also bring misery. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives sometimes to the very rich person peace of mind, contentment in his heart. He gives him his closeness. He gives him his ma'rifat and yaqeen. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was very rich. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was very rich. There were so many other sahabas who were very rich. There were so many awliya-i kiram who were very rich. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi was an import-export merchant. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him such a great wali. So sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives sukoon, Allah ta'ala gives peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, his closeness, his ma'rifat, his yaqeen, tawakkul and trust in him to those who are very rich. And sometimes he gives misery to the person who is very rich. With all his wealth, he finds no peace, no happiness, no contentment, nothing but problems, anxieties, worries, restlessness. On account of what? وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. The person who turns away from my remembrance, Allah Ta'ala says, I make his life miserable. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives the person who is very poor contentment, satisfaction, happiness. He believes that it is from my Allah. I am making the effort that I should be making in the marketplace. I am using my intelligence. I am using the power that Allah Ta'ala has given me in my body to go and earn halal living. But due to expenses which are beyond my control, 5-6 children, rent, light, water, and the employment, the payment of the salary is very little. But this person still has some kind of contentment that never mind, I will eat half a loaf of bread, I will eat dry bread. But as long as I do not displease my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now that person in his poverty also, he's got the closeness of Allah and he's got the ma'rifat of Allah ta'ala and he's got the happiness in his heart. And sometimes in that poverty, Allah Ta'ala gives that person restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems because that person was not obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his poverty. It does not mean that if a person is poor, then automatically he is the beloved of Allah. So everything is dependent on the amal, whether it's a rich person or the poor person. So here in the month of Ramadan, if we have neglected to fulfill the rites of this Ramadan up till now, then still Allah Ta'ala is such that He's so merciful, that we cannot even imagine how much His mercy is. That He says, oh my servant, no matter how far you may have gone, you missed the first night and the second night and the third night and the fourth night. Whatever is left, make the best of that. Even if you get one night that is left, I will forgive you, I will make you my wali, provided you make sincere tawbah from your sins. So these curses of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will have their effect whether we like it or not. Whatever was the desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be fulfilled. I have mentioned in what some majlis of mine, that it was one of the desires of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Listen to it carefully, it was his desire. He says, it's my desire that I get young brothers to collect some wood, firewood. And then I go around and I burn the homes of those people who do not come and make their namaz with jamaat in the masjid. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that's my desire. Now where are the ashiks of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam? If we are ashiks of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, should not we try to fulfill the desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Whatever he desired that the Muslim should do, we should be doing. Now it is his desire that every adult Muslim should make his namaz with jamaat in the masjid. But in what times we are living, that the ladies want to go to the masjid to make namaz. Ladies are saying, we want the right to go to the masjid to make namaz, and we are not saying it's haram. If there is a separate facility and the woman is on her way on a journey or travel, or she is in Makkah, Madinah, Sharif, and at certain times she goes and make, we are not saying that it is haram. All we are saying that still she'll get more reward if she makes it at home. But what I am saying is that the ladies are saying that they want to go and make 5 times namaz with jamaat in the masjid. Now if Shariat had imposed that upon them, if Shariat had imposed that the women must go 5 times to the masjid, then the men folk would have been complaining that our wives are going 5 times to the masjid. What about these babies? And they themselves would have been complaining that Allah Ta'ala is unjust and unfair, na'uzu billah, that we have got babies, we've got to nurse them, we've got to care for them, we've got so much of other household cause. How can we go to the masjid 5 times namaz? So then we would have been complaining. When Allah Ta'ala didn't make it farz, didn't make it wajib, didn't make it even sunnat or nafil for them to go to the masjid and make namaz with jamaat, then that time there is a demand that no, we want to go to the masjid and make namaz with jamaat. And those men on whom it was wajib to go and make namaz with jamaat, they too are fighting for the rights of the ladies to go and make namaz with jamaat. But they themselves are not prepared to go and make namaz with jamaat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it's my heart's desire that I burn their homes. But because of the women folk again in that home. Again, it was because of those women folk and those children that he says, I do not fulfill that desire. But it was his desire. So I say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fulfilled that desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a different way. What is fire? Fire burns a home. So it may not be that fire that we understand in the literal sense. But the fire of arguments, the fire of disputes, the fire of quarrels between husbands and wives, between children and parents, between brothers and sisters, can anybody say that any home and any family is now saved from it? That is the curse of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we have got a little bit of intelligence in our heads. There are so many things connected with different things, but we do not know what the symptoms are there. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will tell us what is the cause of all these things. We don't say that is the only cause, there are many other causes also. Sometimes a headache can be caused through various things. The person was standing in the sun, he gets a headache. The person had stress whole day, he was working very hard, he gets a headache. The person has got a tumor in his brain, he's got a headache. The person has got constipation, he can get a headache. So the doctor will say this headache can be caused by constipation, it can be caused by this, could be caused by that, but you take this tablet and inshallah it will give you cure. So like that, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the different causes, and this is one of the causes. So this month of Ramadan, we know that people have been very negligent, we ourselves have been very negligent, because it has coincided and collided and corresponded with the Christmas season. So it seemed as if we have put Ramadan behind us and the Christmas season in front of us. Day and night it's just one concern, how to accumulate more and more and more. And we say that if this season goes, then we will never be able to make it. Brothers, it's only Allah who will make us make it, or if Allah Ta'ala does not want, then He will break it. He will give it to us and He will break it. He will allow us to grow, but that body will be blowing up like pus and matter that fills up in a body. Then outwardly it is growing, and the person is getting bigger and bigger. But no sensible person will say that this person is in good health. They all will say he is sick. And very soon there will be an eruption. And that eruption will be such that people will hold their noses and run far from him. So like that, the person who is accumulating by missing his namazes, by missing his namazes, especially in the month of Ramadan, by masjids being near but not going for jamaat salat, not giving zakat, cheating, deceiving, indulging in haram. So then outwardly it grows. But then a time comes, 5 years later, 10 years later, a few years later, when you won't even hear of the name of that family in big business. How many we have heard over the years? There were big, big names. I'm talking about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, or 40 years ago that I knew. Most of them have disappeared. So we have to look, where have we gone wrong? So Allah is very merciful, very kind, very forgiving. But spend the last few nights in i'tikaf or in ibadat or zikr, tilawat, at least some part of it, and stay away as much as possible from the marketplaces and the bazaars. Go there for your business reasons, for to whatever extent is necessary. But after that, curtail it and come away to the masjid if your homes are not conducive for ibadat. There is no other way. You will only find sukoon in that. And if we are not going to do that, then this curse of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the curse of Hazrat Jibreel, on which he said Ameen, that woe be to that person, destruction for that person who gets the month of Ramadan but does not get forgiveness of his sins, then that will take effect. Woe and destruction on that person who hears my name and does not read durood, does not say sallallahu alayhi wasallam at least. And destruction on that person who gets his parents, both of them or one of them in old age, and he does not get jannat by making the khidmat. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of appreciating this great and blessed month of Ramadan, the mubarak hours, the mubarak seconds, and may he give us the tawfiq of making plenty of tawbah from our sins, and may he put into our heart the desire not to return to those sins again, and the desire to do all that is pleasing to him. May Allah ta'ala remove the calamities, the difficulties, the problems that are befalling the ummah in different parts of the world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين